You'll turn in your copy of God's Word to the book of Galatians chapter 4. The book of Galatians chapter 4. I'm not going to be very long this morning. And y'all laughing, I know. But I'm going to say what I need to say and then say it and then be done with saying it. And then let God do the work. In Galatians chapter 4, I want to read a couple of verses in Galatians. Hallelujah. I'm almost drunk up here in the spirit. That's how good it feels. Y'all need to walk up and just feel what I feel up here on this platform right now. I almost need a catcher. Galatians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is the master of all, but is under the guardians and the stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Say, "I'm a son." "And because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into what? Into our hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.'" Father, we love You this morning. We thank You, Father, for the presence that You have already bestowed upon us this morning. We thank You, Father, for the incredible worship. Now we just pray that Your Word would encourage us this morning. Lift us up. Take us to a level of life that, Father, that sometimes we fall short of. And help encourage us. Maybe somebody can get through this week by a word that can encourage them. And we just pray now that Your presence would continue to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us. And the Holy Spirit lives on in us. God has washed us. He has cleansed us with His blood. And so the Holy Spirit living in us, we are carrying the Holy Spirit. In other words, God's kingdom is inside of us. "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so a portion of the kingdom of God is living in us, living in you, living in me. It's where the Spirit of God dwells in our lives. So what's inside you has the ability to draw people to you. In other words, what is inside you has the ability. The Scripture talks that at times being as leaven. In other words, it can expand. It talks about being like the faith of a mustard seed. In other words, it can grow and have the ability to change your life and change those whom are around you. So don't underestimate the power that is inside you. Greater is He that lives in you than he that is in the world. And so inside you is much more potential than what maybe you realized this morning when you came into this building, that there's more of God in you than maybe you have accessed in your life. There's more of God in you than you realize. And what's in you has the ability to change your circumstance. It has the ability to change your environment. It has the ability to change atmospheres and where you are, where you live. And so when it gets inside you, and the Spirit of God lives in you, you can show up at a company. And when you show up at that company and you get there and you begin to work and you show up on second shift, guess what showed up on second shift? The kingdom of God just showed up on second shift. Because God is in you. Now stay with me. Now God put in you, and what God has put in you, that wherever you go, God can show up when He's in you. Right? Isn't it a great thought to think that you can walk into a place, it could be as dark, it can be as wicked as you could imagine, but when you show up on the scene and God is living inside of you, God Himself has showed up on the scene. And you have the ability to change that environment, change that circumstance. You don't have to let the environment dictate to you. You can dictate to the environment. You don't have to give in to peer pressure, right? Peer pressure has to bow to you because there's a great God that's in you that's greater than the world that you walk in every day. So you can walk around friends that are unsaved and not serving God. When you walk in the room, you can change the whole environment. They don't have to have an impact on you. You can change them because there's a God that lives inside of you. And so the kingdom shows up where we go. And that's not an arrogant thing. It's the blessing of God. It's the blessing of God that shows up. It's not a prideful thing. It's just part of the blessing that we have. Now, there are places in God where the enemy cannot touch you. There are places in God where the enemy... See, as long as the prodigal son was in the father's house, he was all right, right? He was protected under the roof of the father, under the blessing of the father, of the house. But as soon as he stepped outside, the blessing of God and got in doing his own thing, right? All of a sudden, the blessing of God was lifted, and that which protected him now had lifted up off of him. And so there's places in God that we can go and be safe. You'd say, well, I wish you'd tell me. But when you see the word blessed in Scripture, there's always a thread that runs with that word blessed or blessing. And I feel like I have to take a moment here because I feel like I need to say this to you this morning. And I feel like I need just to take a second. When we think of blessing, we think it means money, just money. See, when we talk about being blessed or blessing, we think that blessing is just about money. That's just a small portion of what being blessed is and what it means to be blessed. Actually, you know, we think the wrong definition of blessing is that we believe that it's acquainted with bling bling and stuff. That if we got that, then we're blessed. The truth is that we come to church and we pay our tithe and we go home and watch TV and we see all that stuff on bling bling on TV and we think that's what God should be giving us. But the truth is, blessing has very little to do with money, even though money is attached to it because blessing, money does come with blessing. Blessing does not mean that trouble won't come your way. It doesn't mean that at times you won't have to experience lack or experience adversity or walk into trouble or that you won't have struggle, right? Because if you're blessed, all of us walk through different things. Being blessed doesn't mean that you're not going to have difficulty in your life. Doesn't mean there's not going to be a struggle at times. Doesn't mean that you might have a little bit of lack in certain areas and you've got to seek God. Blessed doesn't mean, what it means is this. Being blessed means that you just cannot lose, right? When you're blessed, you just don't lose. It means that trouble can come, but trouble can't defeat you. It means that you can get knocked down, but when you're blessed, you're going to get back up, right? Being blessed is not, in other words, it's a state of being. In other words, when you're blessed, there's something inside of you that just resists the fact of those things that come against your life to try to destroy and to kill and to take away from you. Because when you're blessed, you know that it's more than just money, that it's more than just a car, that it's more than just a house, it's more than just a paycheck. When you're blessed, the devil can throw a shot at you, and you know that adversity has come, but you know on the other side of that adversity, you're coming out of that thing. Because you're blessed. You're undercover. You're under God. And you know that God, what? He works all things to good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So you come out on the other side. You're not defeated. You're not broke down. Now the devil can't touch us. It doesn't mean that sorrow can't come. It doesn't mean that debt. It doesn't mean that depression or sickness can't come on us. It just means it can't hold us. Right? And so being blessed is a state of mind. It's a state. Inside, you will always stand up against those things that come against. Being blessed is that you won't let that thing get to you. Now, being blessed is not a verb. It's a noun. Now, we get blessings. There are times that blessings come and encourage us, right? Somebody comes up to you and give you $20 and say, put that in your gas tank. I mean, oh, that's a blessing, right? That's a blessing. But being blessed is a state. It's a state of where we are. It's a noun. It's a person, place, or thing. It's a state. And you are blessed. That's why in the scripture says you are blessed coming in, going out, in the city, in the field. In other words, it doesn't matter what the surroundings are or what the circumstances are. It says you are blessed in every situation, whether you're coming in or going out. And so it comes, it's what comes on us. When we walk in certain levels of obedience to God, there's blessed that comes on us, and we live blessed because we're obedient. It's like when you tithe, the scripture says, I will pour what? I will pour out a blessing on you. And how many know that when you give to God, when you tithe to God, you give to God the portion of your life, how many know that you stand in a state of blessing? And you're in a state. So it doesn't matter what's happening around you. If you're tithing to God and giving to God, you stepped into a realm that a lot of people don't step in. In other words, when sickness comes, God rebukes the devourer. He rebukes, he keeps things from you and blesses you. And so it's a state of being. It's living under a cover. It's living under the protection of God. And it doesn't mean you're immune. It just means that you're in a place where God can bless you, where he can keep you. And it's what you live life in. That's why I'm amazed that some people, as many years as I've been pastoring, I've seen people walk through tragedy, absolute tragedy in their life. But yet on the other end of it, they come out of it. Because they know that even in the midst of it, even though stuff comes their way, there's a God they depend on and lean on that helps them walk through what. Listen, there's things in people's life that destroy some people, right? A divorce, a death in the family, a setback in their job, a setback in their life. There's a lot of people that destroys. But the person who's blessed understands that being blessed is in a state. So whatever this world throws at them, and the Bible says it rains on the just like it does the unjust. In other words, you're not immune from sorrow. You're not immune from depression. You're not immune from sickness. You're not immune from death happening in your family. The difference is that we have a state of being. We have a position in Christ that when we walk through something, God gives us the strength to walk through it and come out on the other side. It's a state of being. I'm blessed this morning. I'm blessed. I'm blessed in God. And you know, can I tell you something? I just feel like I'm having a hard time getting most of us to believe that we are blessed. Right? I feel like at times when I'm preaching, I feel like it's just a struggle to get you to believe the fact that you are a blessed people, that we are a blessed church, that we have, God's hand has been on us. He has watched over us. He has brought us through some stuff. And we've come out on the other side looking pretty good because God has been on our side. But sometimes we take the negative of that setback and we let that set in, and it allows us, it distorts the fact that we are blessed people this morning. I'm telling you, this church is what, 16 months old, 17 months old? You're sitting in a brand new building that God has given you and provided for you, right? Look at the people God's given you to worship with and the person sitting next to you and the friends that you have made. You're blessed this morning. You're blessed sitting in it. Some of you are battling sicknesses and gone through heartaches, and you've been through difficulty and you're even struggling this morning. But can I tell you that it doesn't matter what's coming at you? All of us is at a different place this morning. But let me just tell you this morning, River Valley Community Church, that where you sit this morning, you are a blessed people this morning. God's been good to you. He's been good to you. Ha, ha, ha. But we're a blessed people this morning. And some of you look at me with the stare that I talked about a few weeks ago. You just, like it's hard for you to believe that. It's hard for you to get a hold of that. But I believe some of us have come up into this church this morning, we have an understanding that even though that you've come up here today and maybe you're tired of living under the cloud that seems to be following you and living under the depression or living under discouragement, I'm here to tell you that your position this morning is a blessed people. And though the devil may throw whatever he wants to throw at you, your position is still blessed, and it may be hard to believe it, but I want to tell you, that's why you have folks around here in this building that'll pray with you, walk with you, be with you, help you walk through with what you walk through, and help you get to where you get to the place to where you break through in your life. Because blessing of God means that we can walk through anything. I ain't worried. I ain't scared of the devil. I believe blessed people can walk through anything. And if you think the devil's done throwing shots at this fellowship and done trying to discourage this place and stop the work here, if you think the devil's just decided he's going to pack up and go get lunch and not come back for a while, I've got another story for you. Because every step we take forward in the kingdom of God, the step forward, I guarantee you the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep us from advancing the kingdom of God and changing people's lives. He'll work overtime. And there's no doubt in my mind that he'll do whatever he wants to do. But see, it doesn't matter. I'm not worried about that. I don't want to have to fight the battle. But there's battles we got to fight. But it doesn't matter what he throws at us. Because our position this morning is that we are blessed. And when you operate from the position of blessing, everything else just seems to be small. Big God, little devil. Right? Big God, eeny, beeny, little devil. Now see, some of y'all don't like that because religious folk like the devil. They like the devil to be on their back so they have something to complain about all week. Right?
He is all over my back this week. I can't do nothing right. The beans burned. My husband's crazy. He's all over me, Mildred. I just can't get through it. I don't know what I'm going to do. God just never shows up for me. He never cares about me or nothing. What am I going to do? Lucy, the devil's on my back. Janice, the devil's on my back. Henry, the devil's on my back. I mean,
come on, folks. There has to be a moment when we become mature enough as believers that when the devil throws his best shot, we just look the devil in the eye and say, okay, that's all right. We're going to preach harder. We're going to reach out, outreach harder. We're going to reach out harder. We're going to do more. We're going to worship greater. Right? Right? Instead of one bouncy, we're going to put 10 bouncies out there. Instead of 50 hot dogs, we're going to get 100 hot dogs and s'mores. We're going to feed the whole neighborhood. But go ahead, devil. Throw your best shot. Right? Because mature people in God understand big God, little devil. Help me, Lord. Help me. And so when God does something, and he wants to do something, if I don't know how to respond to people and don't know how to respond to the people I worship with and I don't have relationship with them, then I miss everything God's trying to do in my life. Now, y'all think I have coffee and dessert on Thursdays because I just want coffee and dessert. And I do. But I just don't do that because I just got to fill the calendar up. I do it because I want to get you together. Because in order for us to walk together, we've got to know one another. We've got to learn to fellowship with one another. We've got to learn to stand with one another. Matter of fact, we've got to go beyond. We've got to like one another. Huh? Come on. How many's ever been in a church where people didn't even like each other? I've been there. I've seen it, folks. You got the Hatfields on the right and the McCoys on the left. And every once in a while, one will shoot across the bow at the other. And they don't fellowship. They don't like each other. They don't encourage one another. They don't stand in for one another. They treat each other like they're enemies. And the truth is, why would you want to treat somebody like that that's on the same team that you are, that's serving the same God that you serve? Why not just go ahead and find unity and common ground as a church and just lock arms together and just begin to take on the devil and take on everything he throws at you so that you and I can find the place that God wants us to serve? Ha ha. Ha ha. I'm feeling good right now. And there's a lot of times we forget that, you know, I can come into this sanctuary and spend time in prayer. You can get into your prayer closet and spend time in prayer with God. And you'll pray for a while, and then you'll throw those petitions up to God, tell him everything that you need and everything you want. And what happens is you leave here, and some folks think that in order to get your blessing, there has to be this vision or manifestation of some kind in order to get what God is wanting to get to you. In other words, you got to have a dream and wake up and an angel throw dust on you, and you receive the dust and the gold gets all over you and you feel better, and that's your testimony, and you're going to write a book on it and you're going to share it with everybody. And that's how you got your breakthrough. But you may pray for an hour that morning and not realize that the answer to your prayer just might be at Cracker Barrel at 6 o'clock. And somebody you want into that you haven't seen or known. And they may be the answer to the prayer that you've been praying in your life. And the truth is, it's because it's about relationships. Because I love what Bob Rogers said. He said, relationships is the currency of the kingdom. Relationships is the currency by which God uses to help answer prayer in our life. Relationships is the conduit of agreement that you and I come into as believers, in which when we come together in agreement, all of heaven takes note of that agreement. And when we walk together as brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't matter what the assignment God gives us. Hell or high water can't stop a group of believers that have gotten together and decided they're going to walk in fellowship together in God, and that God is going to be the focus of everything they are. It's a blessing of God. So God always works through people in our lives. He always works through people. Now, the Bible spends a lot of time in helping us navigate through relationships. Helping us navigate. You know, here's what I've learned in 27 years of being saved and 25 years of ministry. And it's a revelation that it amazes me. It amazes me that in all those years, the revelation that I've had is the fact that it always amazes me why folk can't get along. It blows my mind how people will get mad at one another. And they can't communicate, right? Or they're territorial, or they're selfish, right? I mean, I've seen husbands and wives. They'd be like the Mexican standoff at the OK Corral. They won't talk to each other for 6 months, but they'll come into the house of God, dance around, pop around, just like everything's all right. But neither one of them are too prideful to turn to the other one and say that I'm wrong. Y'all, I ain't getting no amens, so I must be preaching to the right crowd, right? It amazes me how the church has had the inability to not get along with people that are not like us, right? How they won't cross racial lines or economical lines, how they just let those kind of things divide them. In other words, let me say this. There ain't none of you all that I can't get along with. Relationship is not getting along in tolerance where you just tolerate one another. Relationship is rejoicing at what God is doing in each other. In other words, what God is doing in you may be different than what God is doing in me. And where God has you may be a different place than where God has me this morning. But the fact that we're a body of believers, we have the ability to help people walk through. Listen, there are times that I come in here and I'm a little down. And I've had a tough week. And it may be a discouraging thing. And I walk in here, but I see somebody who has got broke through this week, and I watch them worship. That becomes a blessing and an encouragement to my life. You know, right? Because what are they doing? They are building me up. They are pulling me back up to the place where I need to be in God. And so don't forsake the assembling of yourselves with one another, because you may come in here discouraged, and it may be the testimony of somebody that lifts you back up, that gets you back into a place where you can worship again and a place where you can find God. Don't forsake the assembling of the brother, because you and all of us in here, we are all we got, sweetheart. So we might as well just love one another and just go ahead and step into what God has for us. Right? Just go ahead. And so it's relationships. God wants to build strong relationships. Maturity in a church is relationships. Now here's what I want to show you this morning. And if you get it like I got it, you'll shout out of here this morning. Galatians 4. The scripture says this. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he's the master of all." Now the Bible tells us this, that we are joint heirs with Christ, right? Woo, that's a good thought. We are joint heirs with Christ. And so what he had on this earth, we have access to, right? As a believer, you have access to peace. You have access to joy. You have access to healing. You have access to deliverance in your life. Why? Because we are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs with Him. But when you look at this, it says, "And as the heir, as long as he is a child." Now listen, there is a difference between harvest and inheritance. Okay? Harvest comes when we sow in our lives. Harvest comes when we temporarily, harvest is something we temporarily receive through something that we have sowed. It comes and it goes in our life. There are times we reap what we've sowed, and there's harvest in our life for what we've sowed. We sow today, why? So that we can reap tomorrow, right? We sow today so that we don't go through dry seasons in our life. And so we reap the harvest. How many know the scripture is all over about seed time and harvest? I don't need to teach that. We've talked about that a lot. And those of you that have caught that principle, you understand that what you sow, you reap. You can't outgive God. When you give to the kingdom of God, God blesses you back and takes care of you. That's the blessed life. That's living in a place of blessing. Right? Undercover. At a state of being blessed. It's a harvest. You receive a harvest. But inheritance, I like this. An inheritance has nothing to do with what you do. Right? It's who you are. You receive an inheritance because of who you are. In other words, it's who your daddy is. Now think about that for a moment. How many know we serve a good daddy this morning? How many know we serve a great father this morning? How many know that it matters who our daddy is this morning? He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He sits on a throne this morning. How many know the grace that's in your life you had nothing to do with? Salvation you had nothing to do with. The peace that's in your life you had nothing to do with this morning. The deliverance that you experienced when you came to Jesus, you had nothing to do with. I mean, you're just receiving as a joint heir with Christ what he had done on the cross and what was given to you, what the Father had given to him, he's now passed on to you. That's your part of your inheritance. That's where you are this morning as a believer. That's what I mean when I'm talking about blessed. Some Christians never understand who they are in Christ. Never understand what our position in God is. What you have access to this morning. The God you're serving this morning. The big God and the little devil this morning. But let me remind you who your daddy is. Let me remind you who God is this morning. That there's an inheritance that you have access to that you and I had nothing to do with. It was all by the grace of God and all that God had done and access through His Son. What He is, or what He was, we can have. God didn't just, listen, God sent His Son that died. God sowed His Son into the earth so that what? So that He could have many sons. Woo! God sent His Son to die for you and me. Not so that He could just have one son, but that through the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, that there might be many sons of God this morning. That there might be, that we can have the right to be called the children of God this morning. And you have an inheritance that's well beyond what you really understand this morning. Ha, ha, ha. But look at the state of which Paul is talking about in this scripture as he begins to talk about this. Co-heirs with Jesus. Co-heirs with Jesus. So, you may have been praying this morning that you have a need in your life. God works through the relationships and works through people. You're looking for a vision. You're looking for some kind of sign to show you that God's going to answer your prayer. But really, the answer to your prayer just might be sitting next to you, and His name might be Ted. Why? Because God uses people to bless our relationships. Now, here's how you got to look at this in relationships. When I look out here, I don't just see Ron. I don't just see Laura. I don't just see Rick. Now, if I looked at them like Laura, Rick, and Ron, then as a believer, that's what I get. Laura, Rick, and Ron. Right? What we've been talking about, we've been talking about treasure and field. You got to buy the field in order to get the treasure. And sometimes the field may not be the best, but inside the treasure is there. You got to buy the field. But when I look at Ron, Laura, and Rick this morning, I don't just see Ron, Laura, and Rick. I see joint heirs with Christ. I see blood washed, bought, born again believers who had put their trust in God, who are joint heirs with Christ, just like I'm a joint heir with Christ. So when I have a need in my life, it's not just Ron, but I know that there's a God Ron serves and Laura serves and Rick serves, that if I have a need in my life, I can go to them, right? Y'all help me this morning, because they have access to a God, right? So if I'm sick, they can pray for me. Why? Because they're joint heirs. God's inside of them. They could be the answer to the prayer of my life that I need. And it's all because they are a part of the fellowship and relationship that I have with them. Most of us are missing all that God has for us because we have failed to develop relationships in the church. And because of that, you're missing half of what God wants to do in your life. Now, I'm preaching better than you're amening, but that's all right. You'll get it when you get home. In other words, if I stand here in need and I'm a joint heir, now look at verse 1. It says there, I'm about done. And now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from the slave, though he's the master of all. Now think about that. Verse 2, but is under guardians and stewards, is under. We don't like that word under in the hour we live. Believers, under. I mean, we graduate from college and we think we got to manage everything, right? I mean, if I can't manage, I ain't going to work. Truth is, you just need to get a mop and a bucket like everybody else and start where everybody else starts and go ahead and allow God to promote you the way God wants to promote you. But we don't like being under. We don't like being under authority. We don't like having to take the process and the steps that it takes in order for us to get in position to where God can bless us. It says he doesn't differ from a slave. Now, when we look at this, he's talking about condition and position. Condition doesn't always match your position, right? Here we have one who is a joint heir, who has an inheritance, but his condition is that of the slaves and those that he is under. He has not really stepped into his inheritance yet. And so condition doesn't always match your position, but your position in God can always change your condition. Right? A lot of times, we don't realize the position that we are in as believers, and because of that, our condition never changes. Because we haven't realized what our position is in God, and we haven't understood that. See, if I have to come in here and get you excited about prayer, and inspire you about giving, inspire you about evangelism, inspire and pump you up to do something, then you don't understand what your position is. You're looking at your condition more than you're looking at your position. But a mature church, you don't have to do that with. A mature church understands that you do what you do because it's right and because the Word says do it. And you evangelize because that's a part of your life. That's a part of your witness. That's a part of who you are. You pray because that's a part of your position. You give and you tithe because that's a part of your position. In other words, I shouldn't have to preach a message on honesty to get you to quit lying. Right? Y'all help me. That should be a part of your life anyway. So what we do in the church, we spend most of our time preaching messages to try to pump people up to get them to do what they should be doing already. Right? I ain't getting no help, Tim. You're going to have to come preach and grab this mic in a minute. Because the truth is, we're living well far below where we should be as believers. We're living well far below what our inheritance is. We're living well far below what we have access to and what God has given us. We're living well far below what we could be doing or what we could do. We're not doing half of what God has given us the ability to do as a believer. There are some things that should just happen naturally in our lives because we walk with God. Not because the preacher gets up and blows up a bomb on the stage and does all the psychedelic stuff, and it pumps you up to go tell someone about Jesus. How about just tell someone about Jesus because he first saved you? Help me a little bit. How about just preach the gospel because that's what we're supposed to do? How about just go ahead and tithe because that's what you're supposed to do? How about love one another because that's just what you're supposed to do? How about just tell the truth because that's what you're supposed to do? Ha, ha, ha. But if we ever find, listen, that's why people live so far well below who they are in Christ. Some of you, you've come into this building, you've accepted Jesus, but you never have had breakthrough in your life. You've never experienced the freedom that really comes with living with God and living abandoned to God. Why? Because you just don't understand what your position is. Can I tell you what your position is this morning? You're blessed. You're blessed. You're blessed this morning. You're blessed. Right? When my kids were 3 years old, I gave them some candy and told them, said, hey, I'll take you to Chuck E. Cheese if you clean your room. Or Up Chuck Cheese, whatever you want to call it. That's the nastiest pizza I ever ate in my life. I don't know how kids could ever eat that stuff. That's horrible. And want to charge you $25 for a 12-inch pizza. Somebody's being blessed. a pizza like that. Somebody call the FAA or call the Food and Drug Administration or something. Something ain't right. $25 pizza that tastes like that. That ought to be outlawed. But I give my kids candy and take them to Chuck E. Cheese if they clean their room. And they like that. They get a reward for doing what they... But look, when you're 25, right? And you're living in my house? Clean your room. Huh? Show up on time on your job. Finish what you start. Clock in right. Clock out right. Be honest on your time clock. Right? Come on, somebody's got to help me preach this because I've got all day. I know the Chautauqua's today, but right? What do you mean clean my room? What do I get for it? I'll tell you what you get for it. You get a roof. You get to eat. You get electric. You get water. You get to live in my house at no charge. Clean your room. How many know that that's how we are in God? Sometimes we won't move in God because unless there's something, Lord, help me. Unless there's something in it for us, we ain't going to do it. Right? All right, well, if it doesn't benefit me, if I can't get something out of it, if it's not going to come back my way, then I'm not going to invest in the kids. Why should I invest? My kids are grown. Why should I invest? Why should I invest in an outreach? Because right? Come on. We should do it because it's the right thing to do. Because it's what the gospel commands us to do. It's what Jesus said, go ahead and do. It's what the Bible says that believers are supposed to do and how they're supposed to walk and how they have access. The reason why some of you are broke, busted, disgusted, and mad at everybody that lives in your house is because you don't understand your position this morning. And your position is that you're blessed, you're a child of God, you have access, you're a joint heir this morning. What you need, God has access for you. You just got to believe it and walk in it and step out into it. How about let's just do this morning? Let's just step out and make a decision. We're just going to step out and do stuff just because the Bible tells us to do it. Ah! Hey, I'm not perfect. I got a field. You get the best of me on Sunday, but my wife and kids get the field. Right? I've got struggles like you got struggles. But think about this for a moment. Bill Gates, if he's got a son that's going to inherit $60 million when he turns 25, when he's 19, he could be living under a bridge. Why? Because his access, he doesn't have access yet. He hasn't got to the maturity of it yet. Listen, the reason why God, I believe, can I be honest with you all this morning? I'm finishing. I'm closing. I don't feel good this morning. I'm closing. But the reason why God has maybe not taken us to some places that we've not got to yet, it's because we're too busy being a 19-year-old. We're living in our condition and not living out of our position. And when you live out of your condition and not position, you never get a part of the inheritance. And maybe because some of what God is holding back in this fellowship is because we've not become mature enough to handle with what God's doing because we really don't understand what our position is this morning. So quit having your pity party. Right? Quit telling everybody about what's wrong with you. Quit telling everybody what's gone wrong in your life and what's gone wrong around you. Listen, everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a story, right? Everybody's been through a fight. Everybody's had to wrestle with the devil. Everybody's had to walk out their salvation. Everybody's had to walk through some tough stuff. Everybody's had a bad day. You think you're the only one that had a bad day? But let me tell you this, if we can wake up and start serving God out of our position, DD, and get a hold of what really is inside of us, which is the kingdom of God, when you show up, baby, the whole atmosphere can change, the life can change, the people you impact can change. Stop letting people influence your life that doesn't have a care for your life. You be who God wants you to be. Step in and be the man of God you were created to be and go ahead and serve God and put that foolish stuff behind. If we do, stand with me, if we do that as a church, if we do that as a church, it's good today because I'm spitting everywhere. But if we do that as a church, if we get a hold of that, You get a hold of that this morning. Woo! Oh my goodness. You get a hold of that. Get a hold of who you are in God. God didn't just save you to walk in misery. God didn't save you to take a step back, go back to what you used to be or what you used. He pulled you out of sin for a reason. He pulled you out to raise you up to the kingdom of God. I know you ain't perfect and you ain't there yet, but God's still working. That's why I can stand up here and ignore your field this morning. Why? Because I see the treasure that's on the inside of you. And when you step into your inheritance and what God has for you, you'll live on another plane in your life.